Hey everybody, it's TJ.
And Celine.
And we're back with another episode of TJ and Celine Nerd Out to Nerdy Things. So, before we get started, I just have some things that I really need to talk about first before we get started. I know we've been off the air for like a month now.
Yeah, we have.
Me and Celine have been fighting.
We're, not to make this weird and have it be our last episode, we're coming to a point of a crossroads of sorts, and we decided to go our separate ways. And we did want to be fair and announce it to you guys over a podcast. We thought that would be the most generous way to say goodbye.
Agreed. We've really enjoyed our time with everyone, and we just want to be really transparent and make sure everyone is up to date with what's going on, and you know, maybe wondering why we haven't put out a new episode in like a month. Truth is, I just think she's a bitch.
He's a dick. Pretty
good.
Oh my god. I started to believe
you. No, we're not going our separate ways.
But you believed us. I know you
did. Yeah, you did.
Oh my god.
So, no, we aren't fighting. Are you kidding me? No. But it is true. We haven't put out an episode in like a month.
That's very true.
What happened?
So it's been a roller coaster of a ride. A
little bit.
You go first. You went through first.
Oh, God. So, God. We had watched Spider-Man No Way Home. Great movie. We're going to talk about that in this podcast. Yep. And then for our final episode, we were going to talk about episode 6, the season or series finale of Hawkeye.
Yep.
And then good old COVID decided to rear its head back and get me and my whole family sick literally like 2 days before Christmas.
That was not great timing.
No.
TJ and I both, we'd text each other and be like, I just had a meltdown.
Yeah, it was a little rough. I'm not going to lie.
So we actually haven't seen each other for almost a month. Damn near a month.
Yeah, last time we saw each other, I think, was on December 16th.
We saw each other on the 21st for Christmas.
That's right. Presents. Yes.
We saw each other on the 21st. That was the last time.
Yeah, you're right. So... No, wait. Couldn't have been.
No, we didn't.
It was the 15th.
It was the 15th because we didn't watch the last episode of Hawkeye together.
No. I was like, wait, I'm looking at the calendar right now.
No.
The 15th is when we got together. The 16th was when I put out our episode.
And the 17th was when we went to see Spider-Man.
Yep.
Or the 16th. That Thursday.
Yep, we went that Thursday because it came out that Friday. And then so on December...
There was a Christmas party.
Yep.
Yes.
Then on December 21st, which was a Tuesday... Me and my entire family woke up sick.
Yes. And we were supposed to hang out that Wednesday.
To watch the season finale of Hawkeye and then podcast it.
Yeah.
And that was going to be our last episode of the year.
Yep. Yep. And it was. Yeah, that was our plan. And TJ texts me and he's like, we have COVID. Which was funny because... Can I say it?
Yeah.
So TJ... Our friends had a Christmas party, and TJ was gonna go.
Oh, okay. You're gonna say
can
no.
I say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, what are you saying? Yeah.
TJ was gonna go, but his fam wasn't comfortable because like parties. I get it. It was very understandable, like COVID.
And my grandma was coming to visit.
Yeah. So they're trying to be as safe as possible, but his broski went to a party.
A Christmas party.
That same night, and brought back the vid. So I was like, TJ, the irony is not lost on me that you didn't come to a Christmas party but got COVID anyway.
Seriously. So me and Celine both work from home. And I don't hardly really ever leave the house other than to come to Celine's on Wednesdays. And The fact that what?
I said yeah, like I leave my house to come here. Like
yeah. Yeah, totally. So the fact that I even got the stupid disease, I was just pissed. So yeah, I got COVID. We canceled our plans. Literally, Christmas was pretty much canceled at our house. It was an okay Christmas. It was kind of a bummer. I couldn't taste anything.
Yeah, that would suck.
My grandma wasn't there. I was really tired.
Yeah.
And it was just...
It was a different Christmas.
It was a different Christmas, and it was a bummer way to spend my favorite time of the year.
Yeah.
That, you know.
And we didn't... I feel like we're just like... Look, okay, I know Halloween was like actually our fault and we just stopped, but like I feel like we're cursed. Whenever we say we're going to do a marathon of movies, something happens.
100%.
I mean, Christmas we actually like went into it saying like let's just watch what we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And we did watch a lot of good ones.
I think we watched half of what we had planned.
Yeah, we did watch a lot of good ones and we had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, guys? Next year, we're not going to promise anything, and we're just going to put out content. And if it happens to be every single day and you get a 31 days of Halloween or a 25 days of Christmas, congratulations. You got it. But if you didn't, we're not jinxing it next year. We're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay? There's no plan. There's no calendar. We're just going to show up. And if we want a podcast every fucking day,
we'll do it.
But if we don't, we just put a lot of pressure on ourselves, I think.
Yeah. Well, especially we're still learning.
Well, especially for Halloween. I think yeah. For Christmas it was a little bit more, like, smooth.
Yeah.
But.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So, I got sick. My whole family got sick. It was a shit show. Not literally.
Ooh.
So then, I quarantined at home. I know they said 5 days. I don't necessarily trust that. I stayed home for 2 weeks. Almost three.
Yeah.
And the third week that I was ready to go, we were excited to get back together. Okay, this was the 20th. This would have been last week.
Yep. January 3rd. 4th.
You texted me on the 2nd.
Yes.
January 2nd. And we were talking about how excited we were to get together on Wednesday the 5th.
Yep.
So Lane, take it from there.
So, New Year's Day, I had come down with the sniffles, and I wasn't feeling terrible, but it was like a cold. I felt like I had a cold, but your girl is paranoid. Your girl is scared. Whenever I get sick now, I think it's COVID, because it might be. So, on Saturday, I wasn't feeling well. It took a Dayquil or two or five, and then... On Sunday, it wasn't bad, but I still wasn't feeling well. So I had an at-home test, and I took it, thinking, there's probably no way. Like, I've been so safe. I've only seen the same people both times for Christmas and New Year's. And I work from home, and I really don't, like, go anywhere.
No, for that reason.
For that reason, to be safe. I did the at-home test, and... It's like a pregnancy test. If there's one line, it's negative. If there's two lines, it's positive. And I know you know where this is going. I got two lines, and I was positive. Nobody else was.
You were pregnant? I'm kidding.
No one else got it. Still has not gotten it. I'm the only one, including my husband, who did not get it. Well, he probably did. I just feel like he doesn't test. It doesn't show up on test for him because he did get, like, kind of sick. So I got COVID, and I text TJ, and he doesn't know this, but I was, like, having a full breakdown because, like, we hadn't seen each other. This sounds so codependent. It's just two best friends, like, not seeing each other for a while after spending every week together for 6 months.
I was going to say, we were pretty good. I don't think there was ever a time we missed other than...
Not for long periods. It'd be, like, 1 week off if I had a migraine or something like that.
Or it was when I went on vacation, then you went on vacation.
But even then, we still, like... got right back into it after and before.
Yeah.
So we hadn't, like, gone this long of a period without podcasting or talking or having family dinner for a while. So this was, like, 3 consecutive weeks now that it was going to be us not hanging out. So I had a full-blown breakdown, texted him, and I was like, I'm crying. I have COVID. And he was like, what? Like, I was like, no.
I was like, ugh. No.
It was so heartbreaking. And we had so much to talk about, and we just didn't get like a chance to talk about Spider-Man the way we wanted to. We didn't get a chance to talk about Hawkeye.
No.
There was just a lot of stuff, and we didn't get a chance to talk about life stuff the way we do every. I mean, we text a lot, but like when we get in person, we talk about everything.
We literally have been talking for like almost 3.5 hours.
Yeah, because we had so much shit to talk about, and you guys, it's not like we're shooting the shit the whole time. We also talk about like very deep like things. Intermingled with like some like random ass shit. So anyway, I got COVID. I did an at-home test, and then on Wednesday I did a lab test, and that came back positive as well, which I figured, but like you never know.
Yeah.
I don't actually know if I trust at-home tests. They're kind of weird to me, but like it's fine. Did you know that you can do an at-home STD test?
Yes. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I did not know that. Mine's right here. Okay. I did not know that, but interesting. I didn't know you could do that.
I was looking at home COVID tests at like Target.
Yeah.
And it came up on my like search. It was like, get your STD panel today.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Like, I was like, that sounds not okay.
There's no ointment for that.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Call it good. Just kidding.
So I had COVID. I want to say that my symptoms stayed pretty mild. I've had COVID before, so I would assume they would stay mild. Nobody else got sick. Fortunately, my dad was not sick. My mom is not sick. I know that I've talked about how sick my dad got last time. I did not get him sick.
Did you feel like this time was worse or last time?
First time was awful.
I mean, like
the first time, I think I didn't have a long time to, I didn't have enough time to like properly digest that I had COVID, but I, walking up the stairs to our bedroom felt like
a marathon,
like Everest. I imagine that's what climbing Everest would be like.
I left my water bottle downstairs when I was sick, and I was like, is it worth it to go get it?
No, get a new water bottle.
I was like, I'm just gonna get a cup.
Absolutely not.
Even that seemed like a lot of work.
I lost so much weight because I like couldn't get the energy to eat. I don't have the best appetite, like as far as appetites go. Like,
yeah.
So like when I had COVID, I was just like, this is a chore, and I didn't even lose my taste and smell like you did.
Yeah.
It just felt like a chore. Anyway, I didn't get it was awful. I was super tired all the time. I had a headache every single day. That I couldn't get rid of, no matter how much medication I took, which. Your girl takes a lot of meds if she has a headache, okay? No, this time around, I was not bad. I've had it, though. I think that once you've had it once, it won't hit as hard the second time.
Well, it's like any sickness. You build
you have immunity to it.
You
have the immunity.
Yeah.
So it felt like a cold. Again, the only reason I tested myself was because I was worried I was going to see TJ, and I was feeling sick. So I was just like, look, like let's be safe. I know he had it, but you never know. Like, I don't want to introduce it to your house again.
Right.
Like, how...
What if it's something different, you know,
Yeah, you never know. They're not telling you what variant you have, if it is even the variant they're saying. Like,
right.
There's literally 32 variants out there right now.
Right. Well, and not to mention other sickness, you know?
It's called flu-rona now.
Right.
Because you can get COVID and the flu at the same time. I'm like, hey, that's...
That sounds miserable.
What? You can get both.
No.
That makes me want to fight somebody, but I would be dead because I'd have both.
It's disgusting. Sickening.
Literally. I might still sound a little nasally. That's just because I have post-nasal drip from the actual COVID. So, like, fluids are still leaking out of my, like, back of my throat. That's too much information for a podcast.
That's just me daily.
I do have post-nasal drip daily, though. I literally do. I have allergy
medicine. Yeah, but we're back.
We are. We're here, and we are just going to do our thing and try and jump back into it.
So, I will say what I would like to do is I want to talk about, obviously, No Way Home. And then next episode, we're going to talk about the series season finale of Hawkeye. And then I think I'm going to end our season there.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to start fresh for the new year.
I think we should.
Yeah.
I think we should.
Obviously, we're
going to do it next week, but...
Right.
We're just going to have season 3.
Right. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's time.
You know, new year, new us.
The plan was to take that break after podcasting on the 21st and do season 3 in the new year.
Yeah. But here we are.
Plans fall to the wayside.
I might just backdate the episode.
What?
I might just backdate the episode. No one has to know.
Ooh. Yeah. Edit this out.
Yep. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I am a little bummed that we did not get to talk about Spider-Man the Wednesday after we saw it.
But
I was very much looking forward to talking about it.
I was too.
But what?
Silver linings. We can actually talk about it at length because it's been it's been a month. So if people haven't seen it, then it's really not my business anymore.
Yeah.
Like the week after, I'm like, okay, it's been a minute. You don't have time. You're probably going to go see it this Friday, whatever. Yeah. It's been a month. If you haven't seen it, if you and your family didn't go out for Christmas Day and go watch a fucking movie, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
It really isn't. If you didn't go on a Tuesday when it's $5, it's not my issue anymore. So we're going to talk about it at length. There are going to be spoilers. I am not holding back this time.
I am not holding back at all, like I did with Black Widow.
Not at all. I don't have it in me. I'm tired.
From COVID.
We had to walk downstairs.
We need a nap.
Let's take a snooze real quick. Pause.
Let's take a power nap.
But yes. I just blacked out. we're gonna spoil it. You should just know that. I'm not even gonna cap to you and say we're not gonna spoil it, or we'll try our best not to.
We aren't Willy Wonka. We're not gonna sugarcoat that shit.
Ooh.
It's one of my mom's sayings. Technically she got that from somewhere else, but still I'm gonna say it's hers.
Oh my god. She's that Lisa.
She is an inspiration. She's like a modern day Gandhi.
I'm gonna call her Lisa.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa.
That rolls off the tongue.
It really does.
Mother Teresa.
Yep.
Do you want me to get you a cuticle trimmer? They're easy to get into the cuticle or the side wall.
No. I have a hangnail. That's
yeah, that's what they do.
No, I was letting them know.
Oh.
So they're like, what? No, I don't need a cuticle trimmer. No,
I'm
good.
Recording for a second.
Yeah. I have a hangnail, and it's just irritating me. My hands are dry. I have lotion. I'm going to put on lotion.
Lotion.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited about this. Anyways. So we watched a little movie.
A little dizzy.
Not only did we see it. The day before it came out, officially, we got to see it Thursday night with a student discount.
Yeah.
Even though neither one of us have been students for minimum 5 years.
For a while now.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I totally forgot that that's how you bought tickets.
Yeah.
So, I didn't even, think to bring my old student ID. I didn't remember.
They didn't check it.
They didn't check it. Even if they did, I'd be like, I literally go to college.
Yeah.
Same.
Oh my god, if I brought mine, I look so different. I don't have a beard. Blonde highlights.
I was going to say, you look like a Backstreet Boy.
Yep.
You brought it one
Backstreet's
time
back, baby.
All right.
Yep.
Just kidding. We're in sync in this household.
We are in sync.
That smells really good. It smells like cookies.
Vanilla bean.
Noel?
Yeah.
It's my favorite. That's
Is it?
I like it.
It's one of my favorite. It smells really good. It's not like super strong.
No, vanilla bean Noel is like my favorite.
Yeah. It smells good. But yeah, so we saw it on a Thursday.
Yes.
And we got the tickets for a little bit cheaper than what they were going for. We were going to go on Friday, but the tickets were astronomical.
Yeah.
I mean, not like any different than normal. Not like for the price they were going on
there
eBay.
There also were like no seats.
But they were like, it was like $19.
There were also like no seats.
Yeah.
Like we'd have to sit in the boonies.
Yeah, sit right in the front. I'm not seeing Spider-Man right in the front.
No,
bullshit.
Wait.
So we got to go on Thursday. We had decent seats. Actually, wasn't that bad.
They were really good, I thought.
We were all the way on the right-hand side, but it really didn't matter.
It didn't. Big enough screen, far enough back.
Yeah. I was honestly so excited.
I felt like I'd been waiting for that moment for so long. I felt like the Eternals were just... It was just annoying, and Shang-Chi was so good. I was like, this needs...
Black Widow was great.
Black Widow was so great.
Yeah.
Black Widow was our entrevue back into Marvel, you know?
Theaters, yeah.
In theaters.
Yeah.
So we were anxiously anticipating this journey. to go see Spider-Man. And there were so many theories, so much shit was flying around. But honestly, once it came to the day of, I was like, I'm setting no expectations. Because yeah. I just want to go into this without expecting the most. Because they can't read my fucking mind. I just want to enjoy it. Spider-Man really hasn't, like, done me wrong so far. No Way Home Spider-Man, or Tom Holland.
Oh, I was like, Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Amazing Spider-Man 2 done me dirty. That was rude. That was a rude movie, I mean, not TJ.
Yes. But both.
All of us. I was just like, I'm just gonna, like, go into it. We're gonna go into it.
We had our theories. We loved talking about it, but if it didn't pan out, we were going to love it for what it was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. And you know what? It delivered.
It fucking more than delivered.
I mean, look. It put Amazon to shame. Okay. Like, Amazon's day after delivery, this was, like, the second you order delivery.
This is, like, when you see, when you go to order something and it says, have it within, like, 4 hours. And it gets there in, like, 2. And you're like, I love you.
Like, why are you perfect?
Right.
There's so much to unpack.
I don't know if we need to talk about, like...
The plot?
The plot?
No, you know? We don't need to talk about the plot.
Let's just talk about some of our favorite moments. Okay. Or however you want to start. Or I can start.
Let's just talk about the premise real quickly. Peter, we're coming off of Mysterio, and everyone knows Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And, like, now Peter's like,
Literally picks up right where Far From Home left off.
Literally. Peter's like, fuck, everyone knows who I am. I need to, like, fix this shit. Because my friends can't get into MIT. I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Yep.
So he goes to who, TJ?
Stephen Strange.
Feels weird, but okay.
Yeah, he goes to Doctor Strange, who I would say is kind of in between things right now.
So we had theories that this wasn't really Doctor Strange. And then the movie played and it felt like Stephen Strange.
So that theory, I will say, did not pan out.
No, but we weren't wrong, necessarily.
We weren't wrong in the long run.
No. Just not in this movie.
Just not in this movie. So, if I remember right, this movie trailer came out right off the heels of Loki.
Yes.
And they introduced variants and all that, this, that, and the other. And they fully made it seem like...
They leaned into that.
Doctor Strange was going to be a variant of some sort.
Yes.
Not dumb.
No.
Not a dumb marketing move by any means, especially if that's what people are talking about right now. Like you said, lean into it.
Yeah.
Make people think that.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. We see Doctor Strange. He's no longer the Sorcerer Supreme. He's a sorcerer.
Wong is now the Sorcerer Supreme.
Because...
Strange disappeared for 5 years.
And someone had to take his place.
Yeah.
Who better than the second man in charge? Yeah. Wong.
Yeah.
Who had love. He's so funny.
Wong is the epitome of I just work here.
Yep. Like, literally.
He's like, all right, whatever. There was so much stuff they led you on in the trailer, though.
Oh, 100%. Trying to think of what...
When Wong was like, don't do that.
Oh, don't cast that spell.
In this one, he was like, all right, be careful.
Yeah, he's like, all right, well, deuces.
Bye. That's literally, like, I was like, wait. TJ actually brought that up. He's like, he did not say that in the trailer.
No.
And then, did Strange didn't even wink like he did in the trailer.
No, because in the trailer, Wong says, and Strange, don't cast that spell. And Doctor Strange goes, don't worry, I won't. And then he winks at Peter. They don't do any of that in the movie.
No.
Like, it's not even... Wong doesn't even say, don't cast that spell.
No, Wong fully knows.
He just literally says, okay, I'm out of here.
I just work here.
Yeah. And Stephen's like, okay, let's go to the basement.
Which...
Yeah.
Who even knew that the...
Sanctum Sanctorum.
I was going to call it the Exodus Sanctum, but that's biblical. the Sanctum Sanctorum. Who even knew they had a basement?
I think it's like a, it's like dimensions. We don't, it's like the TARDIS. We don't really know how far it goes.
It, like in Encanto, when their rooms like just emerged.
Yeah.
That's like literally the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yes.
There's just like random ass rooms that emerge.
They just, they, it's like the Room of Requirement.
Whatever it appears, they need.
It appears when it's needed.
Just like Cloaky.
Like who?
Like the cloak. Cloaky.
Oh, Doctor Strange's cloak. Yeah. Yes. I thought you were saying like something with Loki.
No, Cloaky.
Yeah, okay. I get that now.
Cloaks.
Yeah, so he, I almost said Tom. You know, we're best buds.
Love him.
Peter, he goes to Doctor Strange and says, I want you to help me make everyone forget that I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange is like, okay, let's go do this. Come with me to my basement, child. Which, doesn't say that.
Yes,
he does. Put the lotion in the basket.
It's been a minute.
Anyway, sorry. No, that's a different movie.
That was good.
They go to the basement.
Yes.
And Strange starts to cast the spell. And Peter's like, oh, wait. Can you make it so May remembers who I am? Wait, also Ned. Wait, also May. And oh wait, MJ. The Avengers. Yeah. And the spell kind of goes out of whack.
Yeah.
He seems to contain it.
We think,
but because sorcery.
Like it's not perfect.
It's not a perfect science.
Dimensions.
Yeah, it's not a perfect magic, I guess.
No. There are cracks.
There what?
There are cracks.
Cracks, yes. I think I said crux.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. So, Doctor Strange thinks he saves it. Mm-hmm. He contains the spell for what it was intended to do.
In like a little boxy box.
Yeah.
That's what he called it.
Little boxy box, yeah. It almost looks like the Mother Box from Justice League.
Yep.
It
does.
It does. It's very similar. Kind of a similar concept, too.
I guess, yeah.
And then Peter's like, great. I'm gonna go on my way.
Bye.
Yeah. Deuces.
So, things do not go as planned.
No, they don't.
Peter needs to find out where the Dean of Admissions for MIT's car is going. This is like a whole other subplot that's like not that important, but kind of important. So he goes and finds her on a car in a highway. This is important for one reason and one reason only. On this highway, we get a bit of a roll call. We get our first throwback.
And I got goosebumps. Even though I knew it was coming, and we saw it in the trailer, I still got goosebumps.
I'm getting goosebumps now, just thinking about it. We see a metal tentacle just whip out from underneath the bridge and grip the concrete bridge. And you see a man float through the air with his metal tentacles, and even though you know he's in the movie, he's been in the trailers, when you see Doc Ock,
so cool.
It's just one of those moments where you just like, there's so many movies we've seen, and like none of the Batmans ever did this, none of the Supermans ever did this, to see like a different movie's villain be in this movie, I mean, that alone was so cool.
When you see him emerge from the smoke and he says, hello, Peter.
Which, by the way, Tom Holland's in his suit. That's important. He's in his spider suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you meant in his
business suit.
Like, business suit. No. I was like,
no, he's in his Spider-Man suit.
Yes, he's in his Spider-Man suit. But when you see him emerge and say, hello, Peter, even though, again, it's in the trailer, when you see it in the movie, it even thinking about it, I get goosebumps. Because for those that don't understand, like, this villain was an iconic villain 20 years ago. And, like, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. And the fact that it was almost 20 years ago, I think it came out in 2002.
Yeah.
Like, makes me feel old. But, like, the fact that he came back and willingly came back.
The CGI also wasn't awful. In the trailers, it was pretty bad looking. Like, his anti-aging CGI.
Yeah.
It was a lot better in the actual movie.
Yeah, I agree that they cleaned it up a bit.
I think they aged him up a little bit.
Yes.
They, like, took away some of the anti-aging.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very cool moment, though.
It was one of lots of cool moments.
Yes.
One of so many cool moments that, like, I don't even know how to stagger them between TJ and I, so we might, one of us might just blurt one out at a time. Like, yeah. It might, I don't know. If you haven't seen it and you're still listening, I highly recommend you stop now if you want to see it, because that was something that was in the trailers and not much of a spoiler.
No.
Coming up is the spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, kind of. So not only do we get introduced to Doc Ock in this scene, we also, for a moment, we get a glimpse of a pumpkin bomb, a very iconic laugh, and we see someone floating in on a hoverboard. It's only for a split second. But again, a moment where you see that pumpkin bomb fly onto the freeway and roll, and then you hear him laugh.
You're talking about the trailer, right?
No, in the movie.
The movie? Okay.
And then he, again, emerges from the clouds, and you see it's Green Goblin. And then the screen goes to black. Because I think something happens. I don't remember what. I think Peter gets knocked out or something.
Yeah.
Again, a moment where, even though it was in the trailer, when you see it in the movie theater, it was like goosebumps. That's the best way to describe it. It was just goosebumps.
To have these two iconic actors, Oscar-winning, I think, or at least nominated actors, come back to some of their more iconic roles. And, like, super... I love when actors willingly come back to shit and don't act too good for it. Because I feel like a lot of actors are like, oh, no, I'm past that. Like, I'm beyond that now.
Yeah.
I love that Willem Dafoe and Alfred Molina were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's why go. Not? And Willem Dafoe deflected so well in interviews that even I was like, maybe he's really not in it.
I know.
Even when the trailer came out, he was still like, you know, it's a wonderful role for someone.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe it's really not him.
I know. Like, maybe he's really not in it.
Or, like, it's somebody else.
Because there's so many theories.
I thought maybe it was going to be the Green Goblin from Amazing Spider-Man. If the way he was deflecting for a while, I was like, maybe it's really not
him.
Dane DeHaan's character. The Harry.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe it's him that, like, will come back and not. Which would still be cool to have somebody come back, but, like, not as iconic.
No.
You know? Definitely not as
close momentous. Iconic.
No.
I would have been like, okay.
What?
Or if like James Franco's Goblin.
Yeah. He gives me the creepy dinky.
I don't think he's coming back anytime soon.
No. Very similar scenario to Armie Hammer. I don't think that Hollywood's itching to have James Franco in their movies right now.
No.
Yeah, so we get Green Goblin and we get Doc Ock, and although you know that they're in the movie, like, to some extent, it was just, like, to see and hear the laugh again, just, I can't even do the laugh, but it's just like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh, yeah.
Sing again, baby.
Yeah. I'm ready to be heard again.
Encore! to see and hear them, it was just so cool, and then, I think, did we get all of the villains in that one scenario?
I don't think so, because then I think they introduced Electro, then Sandman.
And then the lizard.
And I don't remember how the lizard was introduced.
He was crawling on the side of the bridge, wasn't he? It was like a video.
I think so.
It wasn't like a big scenario.
No. So, kind of moving on from that, we do get introduced to Jamie Foxx's Electro, which... Honestly, I was very curious how they were going to introduce him. Because for those that saw The Amazing Spider-Man 2, his design choice was very critically panned. Mm-hmm. And I agree, it was awful. Mm-hmm. The fact that it got by anyone at Marvel Studios is very surprising to me.
They had the whole lot of say in it.
I'm just talking about anyone who was a part of that design team. Who, anyone was like...
Blue.
I love it.
Also, comb over.
Yeah, love it.
Geeky.
We're going to go for it.
Jamie Foxx, who works out every day, make him geeky and have a comb over.
Mm-hmm. A buff nerd. Love it. I was curious how they were going to handle that for this movie.
Yeah.
Because I knew that he was getting a redesign.
Yes.
And that he was not at all going to look like how he did in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
So, I don't remember exactly how we get introduced to him. I know he's at some power grid and, like, lightning starts appearing and...
Oh. Yeah. And Tom... Why do we keep calling him Tom?
Besties.
Peter Parker, they get, like, they catch wind of, like, a power grid going offline.
Yes.
And he goes by himself and he has, like, a... He wears his suit backwards, which is the black suit that we all
see. Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that it wasn't the actual black suit.
Yeah, because I was so looking forward to see how he made that.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was simply explained, he just turned it inside out, I was like...
Which, like...
It's corny, but whatever.
In hindsight, that doesn't make sense, because it's nanotechnology.
Yeah.
So, like, how did he flip it inside out? Couldn't he just, like, press a button and it just flips himself? Anyway, that's, like, too much thought.
Yeah.
I can't science for the life of me.
No.
Like, so he goes to check out the power grid loss, and, Electro is there basically charging.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Holland's character. Why the fuck?
I don't know.
We're just friendship.
We just want to be friends with
Tom Holland's character.
Yes. Pizza Pacquiao.
Pizza Pacquiao.
Pizza Pacquiao.
Pizza Piper. Pizza
Piper.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Before we talk about Electro.
Yeah.
Reason why these villains are coming through is because they even explain it in the trailer that the spell that Strange tried to cast, it because it went wrong, and there's, like Celine said, cracks, villains from different universes are starting to come through. So
looking for Peter. Yeah,
but not the Peter they know. So obviously Green Goblin, Dr. Octopus are from Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man movies.
Sandman also.
And Sandman, yes. We don't talk about Spider-Man 3. And then the Lizard and Electro are from Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man movies.
Yep. Thank God they didn't have a cameo of, like, the Rhino.
Yeah. I do like the guy that played him.
Paul Giamatti,
yeah. But, yes, I agree.
He'd be a great villain that wasn't the Rhino.
Yes, I agree. It's funny, his name is Alexi. Which now makes me think of Black Widow.
I know.
Anyways, go ahead. We're talking about Electro.
Yeah, so he's basically charging. Strange has created this, like, weird box to, like, capture all the villains. So we get introduced to Electro, and they make a very funny comment at some point about his blue.
He blew himself.
His previous, like, I don't want to say costume, because I think his skin was actually blue. His, like, format.
Yeah.
They're like, why are you blue, man?
Yeah.
So they capture him. One by one, all of the villains are slowly but surely captured. And we get introduced to all of them all over again.
Yeah.
They've captured everyone but Green Goblin, who essentially turns himself in to Aunt May.
Of all people.
And is like, I'm crazy. Help me.
Yeah. Well, because he's like, what do you want to call it? Yes, but also like, split personality personified.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, that's what he is. He has a split personality.
Yeah. Literally, like he's like Two-Face. He's got his good side, and then he's got his really freaky, fucked up bad side.
Yep.
Yeah, so he turns himself into Aunt May's, her, which is, they don't explain it, but Feast is what it's called.
Yeah.
It's like a shelter that she started. That's a pretty big deal in the comic book and part of the Spider-Man storyline. But they don't really talk about it that much in the movie.
No, they don't, actually.
Which is surprising, because it's like a big part of...
their lives?
Their lives, yeah.
I just read recently that, like, in this world, like, Uncle Ben doesn't exist.
No.
Yeah.
Norman Osborn doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Which I've seen a lot on the Marvel page that we follow.
Yeah.
If Osborn Incorporated Oscorp doesn't exist, how did Peter get spider bite?
I'd be curious to actually, like, for once, know the backstory of Tom Holland.
Yes.
And how he became Spider-Man.
Yes.
I'd be very curious about that.
Yeah, because if Oscorp doesn't exist,
where
that's...
Spider from?
Right, that's where he's always gotten the spider bite from, was from Oscorp.
I bet you they'll touch on that.
Yeah.
Eventually.
At some point.
I don't know why I keep yawning.
It's 9:30.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Dead inside, that's why. So, they come up with this feisty plan to, like... There was a very interesting concept brought up. In every other Spider-Man universe, the villain is killed by Spider-Man. Spider-Man ends up killing each villain somehow, shape or form.
In the other movies?
Yeah. He kills Green Goblin, and then Harry finds out. He kills Sandman? I don't...
Well, Green Goblin, he didn't kill Green Goblin. Remember,
they all die, I should say.
Yeah, because he jumps out of the way. Green Goblin tries to kill Spider-Man with the hoverboard. Spider-Man jumps out of the way, and the hoverboard launches into Green Goblin. The Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I mean is they all die.
Yes, okay.
They all die in their universes, and in Tom Holland's Spider-Man universes, they don't die, do they? Does Mysterio die?
I don't think so. I thought he just knocked him out. They don't really explain that, I guess.
I think Mysterio doesn't die. Let me just put it this way. Tom Holland's Peter Parker universe is very much like Disney, right? Like,
yeah.
No, but there's like not a lot of like death happening. The Vulture goes to prison. Mysterio, I'm pretty sure, goes to prison.
I don't think he dies.
No, he doesn't die. I'm pretty sure he gets arrested or, like, disappears somehow. Anyway, so the...
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back.
Yeah, they didn't...
I guess I'd have to watch the movie again.
What?
I'd have to watch the movie again.
I think so, too. Oh, he does die at the end.
Does he? How?
With the drones. No, maybe he doesn't. I don't remember.
Let's watch Far From Home now.
Yeah, we should watch Far From Home soon. Anyway, so we... The concept is that Peter comes up with the help of one Norman Osborn, is can they reverse these villains to become the good guys?
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. We don't need to talk about the whole subplot or anything. That doesn't work.
Well, that doesn't work, and Peter explains his concept to Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange is like, no. Like, you need to push the button, send them back. Like, because you can't do that.
No.
Which leads to a chase in the, what do they call it? The interdimension realm or whatever?
The glass?
The mirror realm. Yes. That's what I thought at the same time. It leads to a pretty cool fight sequence with Doctor Strange and Spider-Man in the mirror realm.
And to interject, one of my favorite scenes when Doctor Strange pushes Peter out of his physical form, and Peter still blocks him from grabbing the box, which was explained to me then further that it was his Peter tingle, his Spidey sense, making him move outside of his body.
Did you notice when he was in his astrological form that... Is that right? Astrological?
Astral.
Astral. Astrological is...
Yeah, it's like
Zodiac signs. Never mind. Astral form. He had the waves of the spider sense.
Yeah.
It was very subtle.
I saw it in a post. I didn't actually, like, clock it in the movie.
It was so cool, though, because that's, like, a direct thing from the comic book, is when he sees it, he has the little waves that come up above his head. I thought that was so cool. It was a subtle reference, but it was very cool.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a very cool fight scene, and it's a very cool moment.
It was, because you were like, you wonder, like, how is he doing it?
Yeah.
And even Strange says, how are you doing that? And Peter goes, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. At the end of the fight, Peter pretty much seals Doctor Strange in the mirror realm.
Yeah.
Because he feels like he can help.
And takes his ring.
Which is important. Yeah. Good thing you said that, because that's important coming up. Because he thinks he can help save he thinks he can help redeem these villains.
Yes.
And save them from themselves.
Yep.
So.
That doesn't work.
What? It doesn't?
I will say this. The only one that they are able to, like, fully save is Doc Ock by replacing his chip. Which, I will say, one of the critiques I have for this movie is they didn't quite make it clear if he was good or bad. I feel like they, like, left that line to be straddled.
Yeah.
Which, he ended up just... Spoiler. He was good. He wasn't bad anymore. Yeah. Once they fixed the chip on his neck, he was good. Like, he was fine.
Yeah.
So, that he's the only one that works. Then Green Goblin does what Green Goblin does best and turns back to Green Goblin.
He snaps. He goes. Yeah. He splits again to his alter ego.
Yeah.
The Green Goblin.
To the Green Goblin. Yeah. But Norman Osborn is no longer, and, you know, you dumb fucked up Peter Parker. So... now is the scramble to get all these fucking villains back to
where they belong.
Yeah. Then...
because they're not of our universe.
No. And another moment that's important is Electro, instead of decharging himself or, like, stopping his charge, takes the arc reactor and becomes Electro.
Yeah, because he had it on, because basically it was stripping him of his abilities.
Yep.
And he decides he doesn't want to do that, so he takes the arc reactor off.
Which amplifies his power tenfold.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, he also resembles more his comic book accurate character.
Yep.
Which is very cool.
Yes.
Much better design.
Yes. You can tell Marvel had... hands in that one.
Yeah, very cool.
Yes, so everyone's in a tizzy. Lizard's, like, not quite good or bad this whole movie, actually. He's just, like, chilling.
I would say he probably had the least effect on the movie.
Yeah.
He's just kind of there.
Sandman too, kind of.
Sandman too. Even Doc Ock, that's probably my one critique on this movie, was that Doc Ock was maybe a little underutilized.
That's my biggest critique, too, I think. I think that there should have been a Doc Ock and Goblin scenario versus this Mr. Man. What?
Mr. Man?
Spider-Man.
Excuse me, Mr. Man.
Mr. Man. I think he's all grown.
What's that from?
I don't know, but it's from something.
Mr. Man.
Mr. Man? Thinks he's all grown up now.
Oh, don't you know?
Sure.
It's from something. I know it is. Anyways.
So, I wish they would have utilized, like, a Green Goblin and Doc Ock versus Peter type of scenario. Because, you know, Dr. Octopus is a very formidable villain.
Yes.
I think the first... Spider-Man movies made were, like, had very good villains in the first two movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bummer, but not too terrible of a bummer.
It was still great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not bitching.
So.
I mean, I am, but.
So Peter is, like, basically, well, we're kind of jumping to forward a little bit because
there's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about, and we won't talk about all of it because you should just see the fucking movie.
Yes.
So Peter is getting the shit beat out of him, essentially, by all of these villains at this point. And
Ned has Doctor Strange's ring.
Yes. Which Were you is getting why, to that? Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's no, that's perfect. So Ned has Doctor Strange's ring, and MJ and Ned are worried. Peter's not answering. He's not answering his, like, Peter device, like, on his Spider-Man suit.
Peter Tingler.
His Peter Tingler.
They don't call it that.
His Peter Ding Dingler.
His Ding Dingler.
Peter Ring Ringler.
yes.
So they're worried about him. So they, at some point, we've realized Ned can, like, use the ring. And has, he actually made some sort of mention. He was like, I think my great-grandpa, there was, like, a shaman or something like that to Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange was like, okay.
Good for you.
Yeah. And so Ned, like, somehow at some point got the ring to work. So cut to Ned and MJ are worried. And MJ's like, you can use the ring, right? And he's like, I can try. And she's like, we'll just think of Peter.
Yeah. And create a portal to get him here.
Yeah. They're like, and just see if he's okay. So Ned does the, like bend, gripping the palm and, like, or making a fist and, like, spinning the, yes, TJ's doing it. Get peace signing his palm.
Yep.
People are like. So.
He creates a portal.
Yes.
With Doctor Strange's ring.
Which is. I think a very good, like, idea of where Ned's character is going, by the way.
Yeah.
And a portal's created, and we see Peter, and everyone's like...
Which one was it first? I don't remember. The Spider-Man one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, where they're in the suit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, there's Spider-Man, and MJ and Ned are like...
Peter! Yeah, and he's like...
He's like, me?
Me? Like, oh, what? Okay.
And he walks through the portal and... Who is it, TJ?
Oh my gosh. He takes off his mask. And me, I can feel Celine sitting next to me. And we're both just sitting there like... Is it who we think it is? Like the tension's there.
It... You guys... When I tell you the best way to explain it is, like, being on a first date with somebody you have a huge crush on, I'm not kidding. Like, I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is it going to happen?
Like, oh, my God, is that... is it him?
Is he the one?
Is he the one? Oh, my gosh. Takes off his mask. Oh, my God, the whole theater...
Cheered. Yeah.
Because it was none other than... Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker from The Amazing Spider-Man.
And I still get goosebumps.
Like, I did too.
I just got goosebumps. And, like, when he came on screen and just, like, grinning ear to ear, because that's, like, kind of his Spider-Man trademark, was he was always kind of smiling.
Me and Celine looked at each other and we were just like, holy shit!
I was like, oh my God. And like, look, the rumors were there.
Yeah.
But, like, nobody's confirmed them. So there was really, like, a chance that this wasn't a thing.
No.
That this might never have been a thing, that people just made it the fuck up.
It could have just been that the villains were from their universes and...
That was it.
Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland weren't going to, you know, or yeah. Andrew Garfield wasn't going to be in it.
Yeah, and, like, that could have just been it. So there was, it's a very cute scene, actually, where...
It's very funny.
It's very funny. And you forget, because I feel like people deleted Amazing Spider-Man from their heads, you forget how funny Andrew Garfield is.
He's very funny.
And he's got really good comedic timing, actually.
Yes, he
does.
So
they, like, it's a cute scene. They're like, prove it. And he's like, how? And they're like, can you climb on the ceiling? And he, like, kind of just touches the ceiling and hangs there. And they're like, anyone can do that. And he's like, really?
Yeah.
You can do that?
Uh-huh.
He's like, any Spider-Man could do that. And he's like, yeah.
So then he literally crawls on the ceiling.
And then Ned's grandma's like, can you get that spider web?
Get the cobwebs in the corner. He's like,
yeah, grandma. It was very cute.
It's a very cute scene. It's very funny, too. I sort of feel like redeems his character.
So much.
You know?
So much.
Because, like you said, I feel like a lot of people kind of deleted him as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And as much as I enjoyed the first Amazing Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 was...
Brutal.
It was very disappointing. Yeah. And the ending was terrible.
I hope they remake it and they make fun of it.
Yes.
Like, do a third one and make fun of the second one.
Yes. It would honestly be very cool if they somehow could, like, delete...
That one altogether.
Like, not like a dream sequence, but, like... I don't even know how
like
to...
Like a fever dream.
Yeah, or something. Like, he was sick or something. I don't know. You know, where, like, it didn't actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
Gwen's fine and...
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be cool.
It would be cool.
So, yeah. Anyways, So MJ's like, that's the wrong Peter. You know, like...
I'm just like, that's... He must be from a different... She puts it together. She's like, he must be from a different universe.
Yeah.
And...
She's like, you need to try again. And so Ned, he puts the ring up and he does the hand motion. Opens another portal. And this one, not as subtle a reveal. But the portal opens and all of a sudden... Who steps through?
All of a sudden, Tobey Maguire steps through in normal clothing and just smiling. And he's like, hi, guys.
Oh, my God. I will say the theater didn't cheer quite as loud, it didn't seem like, for him.
Which is weird.
I thought they would. They cheered louder for Andrew Garfield, at least where we were.
Yeah.
I mean,
everyone still cheered.
They did, but I definitely feel like maybe because they just knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, oh, you know, I don't know. But I thought for sure Tobey Maguire would have gotten some hoots and hollers.
I know people really enjoyed him being in the movie, so.
Yeah, even though he's supposed to be a dick to work with.
Yeah. Apparently he was really nice this time around. Maybe because he was a dick before.
Well, what has he done recently?
No.
He needs a nice slice of humble pie.
Yeah, literally. He's like, I should be nice, maybe.
Yep. So... Tobey Maguire,
yeah,
and Andrew Garfield are in the MCU.
Yeah.
And I think it was, we mentioned it before, it was one of those moments where if it didn't happen, I think people would have been really pissed. And I think would have been a disservice to the Marvel fan base.
It just would have meant they were not listening.
Yeah. You know, because Marvel's always been very good about... Selena said this many times, that Marvel's always been very good about listening to what the fans want. And this was something the fans really wanted.
I genuinely think that they wrote this entire script based on what the fans wanted.
Yeah.
My theory is this. They had the villains in place, and I don't think they had Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield, like, planned... And when they announced that, like, Doc Ock and, you know, whatever, they announced it before they did the trailers, like, Doc Ock was going to be in it.
Yeah.
When people made up the theories, I'm pretty sure Marvel was like, we have to do that. That's amazing.
Right.
Because it is. It's a great idea.
It.
Listen to the audience. That's what they want to see.
Right. It was a great idea, and it's now the eighth highest rated, or the eighth highest earning movie of all time.
Yep.
And that, to me, is amazing. Spider-Man.
I was just going to say that. So, yeah, they're in it. And it was very cool. Very cool. And, you know, they explained that they needed help finding Peter, their Peter, not the other two Peters, MJ and Ned.
They need to find their Peters.
The Peters! Find your Peter! The guy, not the dick.
In case you didn't pick up on that.
There's a lot of cool moments. One of the best moments is when all of the Peters. Oh.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah. I'm wearing the hat Celine got me. It's a Hawkeye hat.
Oh, I love it. It's very, like, I love the.
Yeah. The color. I love it.
I don't even remember how the Peters met. Actually, which is why I wanted to see it again, but I was like,
yeah, I would have loved to have seen it before we podcasted again, because it's been like almost a month since we saw it, you know, and you forget things.
I was gonna bootleg it for tonight, but I just felt like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's very cool though. We also, before we go anymore, we're gonna end it here. No kidding. There is one more cameo in the movie we forgot to talk about. And it happens pretty early on in the movie.
But how did we forget?
I don't know. I think because we're so excited.
Oh my gosh. I just want to say TJ's theory was right.
Yes. Most of our theories for this movie were right.
Yeah.
This and Hawkeye.
Yeah, we've been pretty on point.
Yeah.
This time around. I feel like we're learning.
We're
listening and we're learning.
Yes.
As people who are canceled say in their videos.
Yes, we're listening and we're learning and we're We're understanding the Marvel formula more, I think.
I think so. We're understanding... I think we get that Marvel's doing exactly what people want in their way.
Yes.
So it's still surprising, but...
Yes, exactly.
Tell us about the cameo we missed.
So, reason why I bring this up now is it's not really important to the story. It kind of is, but it isn't. But it's more just kind of a fun thing to talk about before we get into the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So, Peter Parker is very well known now about who he is and all that. He's at a safe house.
He's being charged.
He's being charged with a lot of different crimes because he's caused quite a bit of damage as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And he needs some assistance. And nobody will represent him because...
He's Spider-Man.
It's kind of a hard case to fight.
Yeah.
But we do get one individual who decides to meet with him. And it was a rumored cameo. I took it with a grain of salt because I was like, okay, sure. He's in it. Okay.
Maybe.
And the camera pans, and all of a sudden, we see Matt Murdock. But not just any Matt Murdock, Ben Affleck. I'm kidding. That would be funny.
And Jennifer Garner.
I know. No, I'm just kidding. Not Ben Affleck.
It's Charlie Cox.
Charlie Cox from Netflix's Daredevil show.
Making it canon for real.
Yes. So.
I just want to clarify at this point, they've confirmed that all the shows except for Iron Fist are canon.
Which is interesting, because then if the Defenders is canon, then...
The Defenders is a canon. They've confirmed all the, like...
Standalone shows,
except for Iron Fist and Defenders.
Oh.
Are canon. Canon, sorry. Iron Fist, I think... The character's Asian.
Yeah.
So, like, now I think that they know that an Asian movie could do well. I'm sure that they'll probably recast it.
That was a big...
I don't know why they did that in the first place, but like,
yeah,
it's either here or there.
Anyways, yeah, Charlie Cox, I don't know if he decided to represent him.
I think he did.
I think he did. But it's a very short cameo, but it's a very exciting cameo. Exciting for me because Daredevil is one of my favorite Marvel characters.
Yep.
I really enjoyed him as the character.
Yep.
I think a lot of people did too. I think a lot of people were wanting him back. And it's also exciting because the Wednesday before. Yep, that Wednesday, they also revealed that Kingpin from the Netflix's Daredevil show was in Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm. Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yep. So it's very exciting.
Yes.
In one of our podcasts, I think it was the last episode, I had mentioned that what I thought Disney's plan was the reason why they released two episodes. I'm going to say it again just so people have a refresher. Reason why Disney released two episodes was because they wanted the episodes to align with the release of Spider-Man.
Yep.
Because if Spider-Man would have come out first, we would have known that Daredevil is in the MCU now.
Yep.
And that the surprise in Hawkeye probably wouldn't have been that surprising. It would have been like, oh, okay, well, that's expected. You know? So it's very exciting that Vincent D'Onofrio is Kingpin again, and Charlie Cox is going to be Daredevil, and I think the future is bright for both characters.
And it's very interesting because literally a month ago, Kevin Feige was like, Charlie Cox is canon. Like, that Daredevil is... Like, out of nowhere, nobody said anything. No one, Kevin Feige.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, Charlie Cox, if we ever do Daredevil ever, like, if, like, maybe we think about it, like, he would be my Daredevil. And I was like, that's, like, cool and all, but, like, why would you say that if you don't have a plan?
Right.
Like, you're just, like, giving this guy false hope. So TJ made a really good point. I think it was the last last episode, he was like, why would they say that if they there weren't already in the works?
Right. The gears weren't already in motion. Yeah.
Because they... I think they're smart enough to have a contract before making a blanket statement like that.
Yeah.
So, like, we were already kind of like, huh.
Yeah.
Like, intriguing.
Yeah, interesting.
Still, though, we're still not quite convinced.
Yeah.
So when he popped up, it was... all the better. We both gasped. The actual, actually, the theater surprisingly gasped like, as a whole. We're all like, ah!
I turned to Selena and go, I fucking knew it.
Yeah. Yep.
I was so excited.
There was literally a brick thrown through the window and he catches it midair and Peter Parker says,
oh, yeah.
How did you do that? And Matt Murdock says, I'm just a really good lawyer.
Yeah. Peter not knowing that he has
superpowers.
Like heightened sonar. Senses.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
It was a very cool moment. I loved it. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see where his character goes from here. I'm really hoping they give Daredevil a fourth season.
I think they will.
And I hope that they bring everyone back. And I hope the guy that played Bullseye is available. Because he did a really good job, and I think it'll be good. So I wonder if the Punisher is now canon. Has to be.
I think so. I think.
Because he did a good job as the Punisher. I didn't love the show, but he did a good job as the character.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I think, you know, they're definitely setting it up for darker movies to come. Because Daredevil and the Punisher. Blade and Ghost Rider, all darker movies. They're actually known as the Marvel Knights.
Yeah, they're setting it up.
So it'll be interesting to see where that goes from here. So yeah, we have that cameo.
That was anyways, so cool.
Let's fast forward back to getting toward the end of the movie.
Yeah, so... where we left off when we were talking about that is...
we talked about the reveal of the Peter Parkers.
Yes. The Peter Parkers are... they all meet. And it was a very cool moment.
Yeah. They talk about their web-slingers, which is a funny moment.
Yeah, because, like, it's the first time we've really, like, touched on the fact that Tobey Maguire is the only one that, like, has it in his body. And when they started, like, talking...
shoots out of him.
When Andrew Garfield literally goes, like, how does your body make it? And Toby was like, I don't actually, like, know that. Like, that's a weird question. He's like, but, like, it shoots out of you.
It's a shootout anywhere else, I think he says.
He does. It was so good.
Yes, it's very funny. So they end up, all three of them meeting, and they end up developing some device that they have to, like, attach to them or something like that, or get near them.
Yes.
So that they can send them back.
First they're going to stop their power.
Yeah.
And then they're going to send them back.
Yes. That's what
it was. So each person has, like an antidote to make them, like, normal.
Yeah.
And then they go back.
Yeah. Exactly. And, trying to remember... oh, yes. So this is a pretty big spoiler. Before all of that happens, the Green Goblin, in his menacing tirade, I don't know, just making up words.
tirade?
I don't know. His attack on the hideout where Peter Parker is staying. Something happens with Aunt May.
With who?
Aunt May. So again, spoilers.
Yeah. Goblin attacks Peter at their apartment complex.
Yeah, where they're hiding.
Where they're hiding. At Happy's.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, this was also something that TJ and I heard about ahead of time.
Accidentally. I found out accidentally. And then I told Celine about it. And I said, I'm going to send you the link. If you want to find out, go for it. And she's like, well, I can't not look.
And we, you know what? We actually knew about it before we podcasted, I think, for Hawkeye. We didn't say anything in that episode, I don't think, though.
No.
Or, like, mentioned that as a theory.
Yeah.
So, Green Goblin goes on the attack and essentially goes after Tom Holland's Peter Parker and Aunt May for being like so helpful.
Yeah.
Like, you think that you, because you just go and whatever. He like does his Green Goblin shit.
Yeah.
And you go on. I'm going to cry.
So he ends up destroying the place where they're staying. And he being Green Goblin, throws one of his pumpkin bombs. And it ends up exploding near Aunt May. And it appears that she's fine. She just is a little grazed, but she appears to be okay. And Peter's like, okay, we got to get out of here. You know, like, we don't know where he is, if he's going to come back. You know, let's go. And Aunt May ends up falling. And she's like, I just need a minute. And he's like, okay, we can take a minute. And for a split second, I was like, oh, she's fine. You know? But then when she fell, I was like, something's wrong. And you can tell something's not right. Something's off with
her.
She's
getting whiter.
She's getting white. She seems to be going in and out of consciousness, and she delivers the iconic line. She's like, you know, I need you to, you know, be better and be a good man, basically, she's saying, because, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. I got goosebumps.
I did too.
It's interesting because, A, she's the one that says it in this universe, mm-hmm. not Uncle Ben, mm-hmm. and how the roles are flipped. You know what I mean? So he checks her vitals and checks her stomach, and she is bleeding out.
He pulls his hand away, and his hand is covered in blood.
She is essentially bleeding out right in front of him, and she ends up passing away in his arms. And it was such a sad moment, and I was really bummed. I was really bummed because I really love her as Aunt May.
I do too.
I really love Sally Field as Aunt May too.
I do too.
And I was kind of hoping she would have made an appearance in this movie, but like, how? You know? But it would have been cool. Anyways, so I really loved her, Tom Holland's Aunt May, and I would have loved to have seen her go further. You know what I mean? Yeah. See where her character goes.
Yeah.
Because she had great character development.
I think so too. I loved her as Aunt May.
Yes. And I love that it kind of like reinvigorated her career a little bit. That, you know.
She was a good aunt. Actually, it's Aunt May. I've been corrected on her podcast from calling her Aunt May.
Oh. See, I don't like saying aunt. It sounds wrong to me.
That's because of Peter. That's what I say aunt like in real life, but like that's what Peter calls her, Aunt May.
Yeah. Aunt makes me think of like a bug.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Aunt May, whatever.
Aunt May.
Yeah. It just sounds off, you know?
That's what he says.
I know.
Isn't that weird?
It is. It's a very sad moment, though.
It's weird that he calls her Aunt May.
Huh?
Like, that's like, even in the comics, like, he just calls her that, like, Aunt May.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't just call her May.
Yeah. I don't like it. It's a very sad moment. Anyways, okay. Just kidding. He is very devastated. He's very heartbroken. I would say it pushes him from being a teenager into becoming a man, you know?
Which I think he needed.
Yeah. Kind of like that, the loss of innocence.
Mm-hmm. Which all of them go through.
Yeah. And it's a very sad moment. I was very heartbroken.
I was too. I was crying in the theater.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow that up with a light moment.
Go for it.
The Peters are all together talking about their losses and like what they've been through and yada, yada, yada. And they're like, well, we got to fight these villains. And Andrew Garfield says to Tobey Maguire, so are you just like going to go into the battle like a youth pastor or... It's like one of my favorite lines.
Because he's just wearing regular clothes.
And then he tugs on his shirt, and he's got the spider suit underneath.
Yeah.
And he's like, cool, cool.
Yeah.
He's like, are you just going to go in like a youth pastor? Or?
I would say Andrew Garfield is the comic relief in this movie.
He's so funny.
Which is funny because the guy that played J. Jonah Jameson, who's also in the movie.
Yeah.
He said that he was, and I don't feel like he was.
No, Andrew Garfield was.
Like, Andrew Garfield was, and a lot of his funny moments were improvised.
Which, he's so talented.
Yes. You know?
Like a youth pastor.
Yes. Like, hilarious. That, you know, I'm sure that wasn't scripted. He just probably said it.
Like,
you know?
He's going to go and battle like a youth pastor or
yeah.
What?
Very
funny. It's
funny
because he's British in real life.
Yeah.
So when you hear him in interviews, he sounds very refined. And
yes.
He's like, oh, no, I loved it. Loved doing that.
Yeah.
And then he talks and he's like, what?
Yeah. He's just very average American.
But then he had some really gentle, sweet moments. And it just, like, showed you the range he had as Spider-Man. And you forgot because you deleted it, basically, out of your head. Like, he didn't get to save Gwen.
I'd say he's the most traumatized of the Peter Parkers.
Yeah, he didn't get to save Gwen.
Yeah.
Both of the other two have saved the girl.
Well, let me rephrase. He's the long-term traumatized Spider-Man.
Yes, he...
That makes sense.
Hasn't bounced back.
Yeah.
From Gwen dying Uncle Ben dying.
Yeah, and Toby's
with
Tom's...
Mary Jane.
Yeah, Tom's Spider-Man is fresh. You know, he hasn't had time to process the grief and all that. And Andrew Garfield's is... I think has held on to a lot of... insecurities.
Yeah.
And
he
doubts as Spider-Man.
Yeah. And he, which like translated really well into like real life.
Yeah.
Like he had a lot of doubts of being Spider-Man. Like,
yeah.
He was like, I don't think I was ever really Spider-Man. He said that before.
Yeah.
There was a very, you guys remember the iconic scene in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 when Gwen is falling and when you think Peter got her, her back still hits the ground at a expounding rate. Like, she still hits the ground. Even though he's got her in his web, it's not enough. She still slams into the ground and breaks her neck.
Yes, assumingly. She essentially breaks her neck.
Yeah. So
which mirrors the comic book. I actually read that comic book for Spider-Man. Mirrors it to a T.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
And... there is a very similar scene where MJ, Zendaya's character, is falling. Almost scene by scene.
It's in
up.
The trailer.
Yeah. Yes, it's in the trailer. It's matching up to Gwen's scene. And he saves her. And he actually cries.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't get to save my MJ.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite moments. It felt like such like a pin in the storyline for him. Like, he finally got to be the hero he wanted to be.
In the chapter.
In the chapter.
Yes. Sorry, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Andrew Garfield keeps saying, like, it was a great end to a chapter, and he's, like, not saying it's, like, the end of an era or anything like that, so we're just really excited for him to do more.
Yeah. Yeah. That moment, though, where he catches her was probably one of my favorite moments in the whole movie.
I think so, too.
because like I think he felt redeemed a little bit.
I think even as the actor.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he didn't get to finish his story.
No.
He still technically has not finished his story.
No.
But with the success of this movie and the fact that people have responded very positively to his Spider-Man, mm-hmm. There have been a lot of rumors that they're going to be making The Amazing Spider-Man 3, you know?
Which would be really cool if Tom Holland was, like, in that with him.
Yeah. But it's like a side character, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Let it be his
like
movie.
Like an Iron Man in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it'd like be very that. Cool.
It was, yeah. So, essentially the Spider-Men work together in a very cool way. Like, so similar but so different in the way they systemically work.
Mm-hmm.
They're all Spider-Man, but they don't all do it the same way.
Mm-mm.
Which is kind of cool to see, like, the differences in how they act and
yeah,
whatever.
I will say, in the end, because it was also dark. The scenes were dark. It was hard to know who was who sometimes.
I didn't know who was who.
Yeah. Unless they, like, stopped on their costume, you could kind of tell.
Yeah.
You know, I could tell by their Spider-Man symbol.
Yes, that was the only way I could tell, was the Spider-Man symbol.
Otherwise, no idea who was mm-hmm. who sometimes. Mm-hmm. Which I guess didn't really matter.
Other funny part was like, oh my god, I love the blue in your costume.
Wait, who said that?
I think Andrew Garfield said it to Tobey Maguire. He's like, I love the blue in your costume.
There's also,
did you make that?
He did. He's a very good tailor. There's also another really funny part where Tom Holland, Toby, and Andrew are all talking, and Andrew Garfield goes, I love you guys so much. And he goes, I always wanted brothers. It's so funny. And I believe that line was ad-libbed. Like, it wasn't in the script. He just said it because he was like, he genuinely loved them.
And it's funny because, like, neither of them, I think it is ad-libbed because neither of them knew what to do because it seemed, I think it was off script. So Tom Holland goes, thanks, man. Because I think Andrew Garfield literally went off the cuff and was like, I love you guys.
Yep. So funny.
He was very funny.
Yes.
And then they did, like, a group hug. Multiple times, actually. They group hugged, like, three times.
And they did the iconic Spider-Man pointing where
yeah.
they did the, you know?
Yeah.
Which is so funny. Glad we got that moment, too, because I think, again, if we didn't get it, like, opportunity
kind of,
missed.
Like, literally.
So.
Mason doesn't remember that, by the way, because he was like, I wish they did that. And I was like, they did.
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily, like the cartoon. But it was.
Well, they're not gonna announce it.
I mean, like.
Like they're not.
The
gonna,
angle
like, yeah.
wasn't like just like the cartoon,
no.
but.
They're gonna have to be subtle about it.
Yeah. Anyways, the end of the movie is basically a big fight scene. Don't really need to go through that
no.
scene by scene because like.
No, it's pretty basic.
It's what you'd expect.
Yeah.
You know.
Andrew Garfield does get stabbed with the. Hoverboard by Green Goblin. But he does. I'm sorry. Tobey Maguire.
I was like, no, it was Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire gets stabbed by the hoverboard.
Which, again, is funny because it mirrors the Spider-Man.
Yep.
Where Green Goblin got stabbed in that movie
yep.
and Tobey Maguire got stabbed in this movie.
Yep.
He does get stabbed and you think he's going to die.
He doesn't.
He does not.
He actually says, like, I've been stabbed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another funny part where Andrew Garfield is holding Tobey Maguire and he's like, you're in a lot of pain right now, aren't you?
Yep.
He's like, yep.
Because they're smiling and like waving goodbye.
Yep. Yeah, so we get the fight scene. Toby gets stabbed and Green Goblin is being all Green Goblin-y and this, that, and the other. They cure everyone and they get everyone successfully sent back to their universe.
Yep.
There is an interesting line where Doctor Strange eventually does get out of the mirror realm. And he says, I can't control it. They're coming through. Which was kind of a cool moment, but also kind of a letdown. Because like you kind of thought it was going to be something big. and it didn't really end up being anything that big.
No.
We do see brief silhouettes of iconic Spider-Man characters. Mm-hmm. I did see the Rhino.
Yep.
I did also see, I believe, the Scorpion.
Yep.
There's a whole bunch. Oh, Kraven, I know, was one of them.
Yep.
Because you could see his staff and mm-hmm. his fur coat, or his fur shawl.
I literally can't think of them unless you say them. Like, I can only picture, like, the purple.
I think Black Cat was there, too.
Felicia Hardy was yeah. in the silhouettes. Even though she's, like, not necessarily, like, a villain.
She's like Catwoman.
Yeah.
Literally, she's just like
she's
Catwoman.
Same thing.
Just Marvel's version.
Yeah. Isn't she Endgame for Spider-Man in one of the comic books? Like, she's, like, his girlfriend?
They hook up, yeah. Everyone hooks up with everyone at some point. But yeah, so it is a cool moment because you get to see all these potential villains at some point. But it really doesn't end up turning into anything. But he does end up sending everyone back. He does end up containing everything. The only way that they can successfully make sure that no one remembers everything is Tom Holland's Peter Parker says, make everyone forget who I am, mm-hmm. including MJ.
And Ned,
yes. Because it's the only way to
get the world
make sure everyone's safe.
Yeah.
And get the world back to normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like pretty much where the movie ends.
That is.
Yeah.
That is where the movie ends.
The post-credit scene, do you remember what the first one was?
Oh my god. Oh.
I know the second one was the teaser.
Doctor Strange teaser. No?
I gotta look it up. Hold on. So there are two teasers. I am a little bummed about the second one, though.
That it was
just a trailer for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
I agree.
Because that means we only really have one.
It's the they're both bummers. Eddie Brock returns back to his universe.
Yes.
But his symbiote stays, like a piece of it.
Yes. So yes, in Venom Let There Be Carnage, we get their end credit scene is he gets pulled into the MCU multiverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which was like super exciting.
Yeah.
Even if it was only for a minute.
The best part of the movie.
Yeah. Even if it was only for a minute.
Yeah.
And then the post-credit scene for this one was he's like talking to the bartender and like trying to have him explain what's happening. And it's a very funny scene.
Yeah.
And then
there's a magic man.
Yeah. Yep. And then all of a sudden he gets pulled back to his universe.
Yep.
The Venom universe. Kind of a bummer, because I would have loved to have seen them interact.
Yes. I do think that... So, like, in the comics, the perfect host for Venom is actually Drax.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which makes sense, because it's like, the angrier you are, the more simple-minded you are, the easier you are to be a host.
How can it see him? He stands so still.
I love him so much. anyway, I don't think that's what they're going to do. But I do think that Venom, Tom Hardy's Venom, is too... Like, he wouldn't be a villain.
No.
There's just, like, no possible way that he would be a Spider-Man's villain, especially with Eddie Brock as Venom. He's too good.
Yeah, he's too nice.
So I would love a scenario in which Venom helps Spider-Man defeat his symbiote, basically.
Yeah.
But they left a drop of symbiote with them, which means that there's a chance that that could be the next villain.
Mm-hmm.
But who will be... But MCU's version.
Yeah.
And will it be, like, a Venom? Probably not. It'll probably be, like, a variant of Venom.
I think it'll be Eddie Brock.
You think it'll be that?
But not the Eddie Brock we know. Know what I mean? So it'll be MCU's Eddie Brock.
So different universes. You're saying they're opening up the table just like they did with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it'll be Eddie Brock, but a much douchier Eddie Brock.
Topher Grace, basically.
But, like, I hope better. Not. Better. Nothing against Topher Grace, but he did a great job as Eric in that 70s show, but not so great in Spider-Man 3. That was a horrible miscast. Yeah, and then the second post-credits trailer is the teaser for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which looks very good.
So good.
I'm excited for that one.
It was just like a trailer, so there's not a whole lot to break down. You can actually watch it now on YouTube. They released it.
Only reason I'm bummed when they do that is because, like, we live for the post-credit scenes to find out what's going to happen next.
You know what I was more bummed about? If they didn't release it and we only got to see it, you only got to see it if it was in theaters, I'd be okay. I'd be like, oh, that's special. Yeah. But they released it right after the movie release.
Like, the next day.
Yeah.
I think that Saturday is when they released it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was that Friday. I don't know.
It was Friday.
Yeah.
They released it on Friday.
Yeah, and I was like...
So it was just, like, not special anymore. And after that, I was kind of like, that's annoying.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, we're, like...
We're
exclusive. Yeah.
Because, like, if they had released it, like, 2 months later, along with, like, maybe a full-length trailer or whatever...
Yeah.
Then it would have been different, but, like, no. They released it the next day.
It just kind of took away from
the specialty of it.
Yeah.
I agree.
And that's, like, why we like watching them, because, like, ooh, we, you know, for everyone else, what's happening?
Like,
you know?
What are we going to do?
Yeah. I know. It was a very good movie.
It was. I loved it.
I loved it. It had a lot of nostalgia in it.
Oh, you felt like home.
It did.
It's called No Way Home, but you really did feel at home.
Yeah.
At least you and I did, because we're weird.
Yep, 100%. Damn proud of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where Spider-Man goes from here. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see where he goes in the MCU, or if he will even be part of the MCU anymore.
I agree.
I've heard that MCU characters will still make an appearance, but I feel like that's really early to know that.
My theory is this. I think that Kevin Feige took Sony's Spider-Man to another level, and they would be stupid to not leverage Marvel being behind them. If they don't work together as a team, I think that Sony is making a huge mistake, because obviously their team didn't do well, especially with the last movies. Each last movie for them bombed. I mean, not bombed, but you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, even Venom, which is... like, fine for what it is. Yeah, you know, like, I enjoy it.
It's a good movie.
Do I think they're, like, top tier? No.
No, they're fun.
If they do the Spider-Man movies like that, I think Spider-Man would be in trouble.
100%.
So I think they'd be dumb to not work with Marvel and...
Why not use the resources given to you?
Yeah.
If Marvel's willing to meet you halfway and, like, rent your character, let them rent your character. Take a... portion of the proceeds, and let this bankable character keep being more and more bankable. He's like one of the most popular superheroes in the world right now.
Nobody and actor.
Has, what?
And actor.
And actor.
Yeah.
And like couples. And Zendaya and Tom Holland are like, everyone's like, oh my god, they're dating. I love them. Which I do love that.
I do too. Part of me thinks it was for the movie. But they really do seem to like each other.
I thought it was for the movie too, but I just keep seeing like TikTok videos of people filming them like when they're not aware, and they seem like really coupley.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but you know. Yeah. Know.
Who knows?
Any final thoughts? I feel like we just word vomited for like an hour and a half.
It was fun though.
It was good.
But it's hard not to when you haven't seen each other for almost a month.
No, I know.
I am excited for what is coming next for the character. I'm excited for what's coming next for Marvel. I'm a little disappointed that Morbius got delayed till April.
I know.
And I'm a little disappointed that our next Marvel MCU movie isn't until May. And the fact that there's no shows on the horizon.
Yeah, we're actually like waiting for... And there's a pandemic engulfing the world.
Still. Still. Yeah. We can't really complain. We had a great last year.
We did.
With how long it felt in between waiting for each show and movie. We really did have a lot of Marvel stuff last year.
We did, and we had a lot of fun.
We did.
You know?
We did. We were going to get to Hawkeye tonight. I'm tired, though.
I was just going to tell you, I'm so tired.
So, we'll have Hawkeye, episode 6. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts?
I do not. That was so fun to talk about. How long did we talk? Hour and a half, I'm guessing.
Hold on. I got to turn on my computer.
Hour and 28 minutes.
You were closer the first time. Hour and 35. It's one of our longer episodes.
It's fine.
I kind of figured it would be, though.
It's first episode back. You should title this, like, our last episode together. I bet you we get a lot of listeners. Clickbait.
Yep. Hey, if comicbook.com can clickbait their links, why can't we?
We totally can.
You know?
Celine and TJ's final TJ and Celine nerding out for the final time.
Yep.
This year.
TJ and Celine make a...
Oh my God, like Zach and Miri make a porno.
That's what I was thinking of.
TJ and Celine make a porno.
Yep.
What would that it would not be a porno. It would literally be you and I sitting there just talking about like shit, and we might be naked. It would be weird.
Be weird.
We'd just be like, hey,
sign up for our OnlyFans.
Just talking about comic book shit. And then once in a while, Mason walks in, butt ass naked.
Sup. That'd be fun. All right. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. That'd be funny, though.
It would be funny.
All right. Well, if that's all we got, then TJ and Celine.
Ow.
Out.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't want to be a fool for you. I forgot that you were around.
Yo.
Oh, I forgot to do it. I'm sorry.
Sorry. All right, bye, guys.
Oh, shit.